Welcome to The City's Backyard with Matt Szako. The City's Backyard starts now.
Today we are in the backyard with legendary rock drummer, American drummer, Carmine Appice. Carmine has been on the podcast a few times. It's always great to have him drop by The City's Backyard. I mean, he is a Brooklyn guy. Carmine lives down in Florida now, and he's coming back this way to New Jersey. You know, he played, obviously, in Vanilla Fudge, Cactus, that power trio, Beck, Bogart, and Appice, and, of course, Rod Stewart, King Cobra, and Blue Murder. But we're having him back to talk about the Rod experience. Carmine, welcome to the backyard. How's it going?
Okay, just got back from Vegas, actually. We played the first big show with the new band and the staging and everything. It went fantastic. With the Rod experience, that is. And it was really, really a good show. And really, the audience loved it. We had about, 1,000 to 1,200 people there. And it was really, really fun, I have to say.
Your first show was right in Florida at the Black Box?
Yeah, that was just like a...
Or the Boca Box?
Kind of people. Yeah, the Boca Black Box. That was kind of a rehearsal in front of people. That was more like... Because we didn't have any road crew. We didn't have any stage sets or anything. Vegas was the first one with the roadies. And we had these white scrims and the video behind us and these giant parachutes that hang down, you know, to give the illusion of a white stage like we used to have with Rod Stewart back in 79. Because the show we're doing is more like a 1979 show. We added a couple of more recent songs because we like them and, you know, we thought it would be fun to do. Like we added Infatuation, which I love playing, and we added Forever Young. Otherwise, the rest of the set is everything we did in 1979's show. You know, we had balloons going on. We had big balloons. We threw them out to the audience. We had confetti, you know, shot up in the air. We had these air dances, like you see at the car wash. They go up, you know, to create some havoc in it. It was really great. It did exactly everything we thought it would be. You had the audience standing up and the girls, you know, up to the front, you know, like, you know, it was just like having a back in Rod. It was just like back in the shows.
Nice. And speaking of Rod, you know, he wrote the foreword in your book. He did fire you as his drummer. And I'm just going to read a couple little quick paragraphs here. Carmine played in my band from the mid-70s through the early 80s. I'd liked his previous groups, Vanilla Fudge and Cactus. He was in my band because I found him to be a brilliant drummer, and he wouldn't have been there if he wasn't special. And almost equally important, Carmine never seemed down. He was always very up and positive. Sometimes he didn't get my British sense of humor, but not his fault. He's a Yank. And then this is the part that I think is kind of funny. There was only one drawback. His sense of style was effing useless. Absolutely hopeless. He would turn up in these horrible bell-bottom velvet trousers. They might have been acceptable in 1972, but they certainly weren't in the 80s. As for his hair, well, the less said about the parrot-like yellow or orange streaks, the better.
Yep.
So how do you feel about that?
I think it's funny. I like where he says, I fired him. F knows why. Right?
Yeah.
And that was really the thing. I think there was, I don't know why. I think there was some drugs going around. And there was another guy that was kissing up to Rod who didn't like the fact that after Rod's name, my name was the biggest name in the band. He didn't like that.
You know? Yeah.
So it's just one of those things, you know? So.
Yeah,
I went on to, you know, keep going with Nugent and Ozzy and King Cobra and Blue Murder and, you know, just, and after that in the 90s, I did my Katarzu stuff and I did Edgar Winter and, you know, and then it's still going. So,
yeah, I mean, we've got so much to talk about. I mainly want to just in this first segment, just hit on these dates. You're coming to New Jersey, Newtown Theater. You're starting Friday, this Friday at the Lavoie Theater in Millville, New Jersey on the 27th, right?
That's right.
And then you got Newtown Theater the next night in Newtown, New Jersey, and then Patch Hog Theater in New York. So you're busy Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So two dates in Jersey and one in Long Island?
Yep. And these were the initial dates with Vegas and these three dates. to do so we can, you know, get some new film of the band and put together a new sizzle reel and work with the agents to pretty much get the shows for next year. Because we didn't have any new film of the band except from the Boca Black Box, you know, and that was a small place. We did have a big audience. The place was pretty much packed. And so we did two gigs. So far, both gigs have been crowded. So alluding, we're hoping that this continues.
Alluding to your style from Rod there in the foreword of your book, do you put on a 70s shirt with a big collar to emulate 79 or what?
No, not. I do have black velvet pants. and some of them are velvet. Slight bell bottom, you know. But you know, we're trying to emulate the 1970s show, not the 80s show, you know. Even though we play a couple of songs, but you know, I mean, I had this outfit on the other night that had little squares that made a mirrors kind of thing, so it reflects the light. You know, I mean, you know, with Rod, we always had flashy outfits, you know. I only played with him up till 82, and my hair was, that's when I was experimenting with my hair, with the hair colors. You know, I finally settled on a purple, you know, which I had for many years. But when I was with Rod, they used to call me Parrot Man, you know, and it was pretty funny, you know.
So you co-wrote Do You Think I'm Sexy and what, Young Turks?
Yes, mm-hmm.
I mean, that was one of my favorite songs, you know, growing up. I'll never forget going to the Westchester County Ice Skating Center, and they had like the disco ball on Friday nights, and that song, you know, I would try and pick up chicks, you know, in middle school, pretty much.
Yeah, of course.
I think I might have been in like sixth grade.
That's a great song to do it with.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that was one of his biggest songs, was it not?
It was the biggest song he had ever.
Wow. And yeah. And so when you co-wrote that, did you write it separately or together?
Well, Rod would come up for both those songs, Young Turks and This Sexy, and he'd say, hey, look, I want a song like this. In the case of Sexy, it was Missing You by the Rolling Stones. You know, he said, I want a song like that, you know, that can dance to it and all that. So I went home, I had a keyboard, and I put a bunch of chords together, and then I went to my buddy Dwayne Hitching's house, who wrote The Bridge, right? And he had like a little 8-track studio set up. So when we presented to Rod, it already had the drum machine doing the groove and had all the chords and had a bass line, not that particular bass line, but it had a disco-y kind of sounding bass line. And so when we presented to Rod, we presented him the music. He always wrote the lyrics and the melody. So we wrote all the music and he loved it. So out of all the guys that brought songs back, he picked that. Nobody knew it was going to be so big, you know. And we did it a couple of ways. First way we did it, we ended up changing it. But I used that first arrangement of it to write another song because I was producing a Japanese female singer at the time. And we wrote another song called I Just Fell in Love Again to the original way we did Sexy, which was more of a heavy rock way. But then Tom Dowd, the producer, said, look, we got to get it more in the disco pocket and make it a rock disco kind of thing. And I got to say, it was really a rock disco thing until we went from 24 track to 48 tracks. And then Tom Dowd put an orchestra on it and put a percussion guy on it. And then he put Tom Dowd on it and put David Foster on it. All these guys were session guys at the time. And he even had Jim Cregan's ex-wife, who was a singer, sing the high part going da 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 da, like two octaves up, you know. So by the time we had two 24 tracks, the original rock sounding song was shrunken down to add all these other things. So then it became more like what it is now. But I can't complain because it went to number one in every English speaking country in the world. So it was number one in like 15 countries, I think. The album sold, I don't know, 10, 15 million, 20 million albums. It's ridiculous. Now you don't sell anything like that. There is no gold or platinum records these days.
Yeah, in previous interviews, you've always alluded to the fact that, you know, out of all the musicians you've played with, some of the best memories are playing with Rod because of just the magnitude of the audiences, right? They were just huge.
Unbelievable. Huge audience. And let's put it this way. I had a small percentage of Rod, you know, and the band. We all had a little percentage. That little percentage made more than 32% of BBA.
Wow. You know? Yeah.
And 25% of Vanilla Fudge. You know, it's just massive amount of money, massive amount of audiences.
You played on Hot Legs, right? You're doing the drumming on that. Now that's a track where I feel like you could really show off on that one.
Yeah, the drums were featured on that. Everybody thought I wrote that.
Uh-huh.
You know, because the drums were so featured on that. But that's how Rod wanted. He wanted to feature drums. Like he featured me on another one on the second album I did with him on Standing in the Shadows of Night. Standing in Shadows of Love. That one there by the Four Tops, and I had like some drum solos in that, and even live. I mean, when I did Losing You, when I joined the band, he said, "I know you have fans, and you can do your normal drum solo. I know when I come back, you're gonna have the audience riled up, and I could change and refresh myself and come back." I said, "Okay, no problem." You know, that's where the name came from. He said, "Now, how do you say your name? A piece, Apicy, a peachy?" And I said, "Well, most people say a piece." So he goes, "Well, let's go with that." So I changed it to Carmine Apiece. Because he said, you know, we're going to be playing in front of 20,000 people and more. You know, I want to say your name right. So I'm going to come out Carmine, whatever, on drums. You know, so that's when I went with a piece. And then Ludwig picked up on it. And we started doing ads in every rock magazine in the world. And it's like Carmine Apiece. It was everyone wants a piece of a piece. You know, and that made sense for an ad, you know. But Brother Love was a picture of me. And it ran in every major rock magazine when they had Rock and Me, you know, Rock and Cream and Circus and Hit Parade in America, and then all the ones in Australia and Japan and Burn Magazine, and you know, all over the world. I mean, I have that actual ad in a poster framed in my studio here.
That's such great.
A classic ad.
Yeah, you must have gotten so many women during the Rod days just because of Rod alone. You know, right. I mean, he was a sex symbol. Right.
The Rod audience was 90% women, and we had a ball.
As opposed to like Ozzy, right?
Unlike Ozzy, or I went to an Iron Maiden show, you know, 90% guys.
Yeah. You
know? I'd rather have the women.
I would think so, you know.
It's like one of the guys in the band, you know, Nico's a friend of mine down here, Nico from Iron Maiden. So I got two of the guys from, he has a little Iron Maiden tribute. So I got two of the guys playing with me that, you know, play with him. And you know, we were trying to put together like a band photo with me and Rick, the singer, bigger, and the other guy smaller. And he's doing the Dio sign in there, you know. I said, "Dude, this isn't Iron Maiden. You don't do the Dion sign because it's a female audience mostly." And so far, you know, it's been 50-50 at both gigs, 50-50, you know. A lot of the guys came to see me because of my past, and all the women, you know, we got them coming up to Rick, and you know, so Rick's a singer, Rick St. James, and I got to say, he did a great job. You know, we got balloons flying out there, we got confetti, we got air dancing, as I said before, and really makes it's like a party, you know, and that's what we used to do with Rod. It was like a party.
Yeah, so have you done this before, or is this new?
I did it before, yes. I did it, I think it was 2011, maybe. And I went to China with it. I did it in some theaters in Long Island and Dallas and Philadelphia and Jersey and different places. But the problem was, back then, there were no agents to book it because it was the Rod Experience, it was a show, you know?
Right.
And I had Phil Chen in it, and I had guys who played with Rod. I had Jimmy Crespo, I had Paul Warren, who played with Rod 14 years. I had all these different guys that played with Rod. And it was good, but then Phil Chen didn't want to do it anymore. He said, "No, I don't want to do this, and I don't want to play behind a guy, a false Rod." I said, "Phil, it's not a band, it's a show. It's not a band." And yeah, it's a show, because I got video running behind me of, you know, when I was with Rod and different things, like, you know, little sayings of where the video Hot Legs was recorded. Or, you know, one time I got in the car with Rod. He goes, "Oh, it's a drag being a legend, kidding around." I said, yeah, I know what you mean. And stopped and fired. He says, you're the only one in the band that could say that. I said, thank you. You know, and things like that, you know, they're on the screen. Then it's all psychedelic stuff. And then you see a picture of Rick, his picture of me, picture of the band members that played with him that were in the band at the time, the pictures of the original band. You know, so it's like a historical video.
Yeah.
You know, so that's running in the background. And, you know, with all the other stuff that's going on stage, you know, lights changing colors on the white setting and all that stuff, you know. So I did that. And the problem was, if I wanted to rehearse, it cost me like $3,000 to $4,000 or $5,000 each time I wanted to rehearse to fly everybody in from all over the country. So it got to be too expensive. So I blew it out. So I said, 2 years ago, I went to see Rod here, and he lives, he has a house in Palm Beach. So I went and saw him, and we hung out for a minute, and he invited me to the gig. I went to the gig, and I noticed he did like 12 songs. Out of all the 12 songs, 8 of them were the ones that I was involved in, and the audience is going crazy over them. I said, you know, I was heavily involved in these songs, playing on them, you know, arranging the background vocals and, you know, singing on it with Rod and helping produce it, you know. And I never get to play these songs anymore. You know, I said, you know what? I'm going to put another Rod experience together with local guys down here. So I could just rehearse and it won't cost me anything, but whatever, you know, 50 yeah. to 60, 70 bucks for a rehearsal place. So I've been doing that since February. I got some great musicians, tried them out. And then we started rehearsing the songs. You know, once every 2 weeks, we're going for 3 hours. You know, I tell these guys, well, let's learn this one. Then we go and fix it. And, you know, I asked Rick if he wanted to do it, the singer. He said, yeah. So I've been rehearsing like a long time with these guys. So by the time we got Rick, who lives in Nashville, to come rehearse with us for the Black Box, the band was tight. And now we had to fit Rick into the band. And we did rehearsal with him. Then we did the Black Box. And that's the idea. And then we went to Vegas. We had 2 more rehearsals with the road crew, with the staging and everything. And then we talked about what's going to happen on stage with the road crew and what's going to happen with the band with the road crew, you know. And then we did the gig, and it went great, you know.
Yeah, I mean, so, the fact that you're making it nostalgic with the video is awesome. And Rod just played Bridgeport, Connecticut recently at the amphitheater. And, you know, I mean, your show is more intimate. Granted, Rod isn't singing. I mean, you made a good point there. You were part of all these great songs. So why not? You know, and you're always reinventing or thinking outside, you know, the box to come up with new things. And I feel like that's where you're different than a lot of drummers is you're flexible.
Well, I've been lucky that I started back in the day when there were drum idols, you know, real drum idols back in the day. You know, it's like, you know, we started with Vanilla Fudge. It was like me, Dino Danelli were the only Americans. And you had Ginger Baker and Keith Moon and Mitch Mitchell, you know, and then it went on and those three guys died. And Dino Danelli fell out, and I was like the only one left. And then he had the second generation, you know, the John Bonhams and Ian Pace, which, you know, I had, you know, something to do with them because, you know, they looked at me as a mentor kind of thing, you know. And we took Zeppelin on the first tour, and I helped John Bonham get his stuff. And, you know, and then, but they still, you know, were one band, you know, it's because I never stood with one band. The bands broke up. I had to keep going and get different things going on, you know. But I've been involved with legendary, they're all legendary bands. You have Vanilla Fudge, Cactus, you know, BBA that just has the new box set out. And then, you know, even Blue Murder and King Cobra, you know, it's Ozzy. And it's all legendary stuff, you know. So I've been lucky. I've had a blessed career, you know. I just wish one of them would have lasted longer. Every band was like 2 years or less, you know. And, but, you know, I'm totally happy with doing this. And people say, when are you going to retire? I go, why should I retire? This is my hobby. This is what I do. I love music. I love being a theatrical entertainment guy, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sitting here looking at some laser gloves and a personal smoke machine that changes colors. I'm going to start using it in the Rod Stewart thing. We're still doing Vanilla Fudge. We've got a couple of cruise things going on next year. And we got a major Cactus record coming out. It's called Influences and Friends. I got 25 artists on that record playing all the old Cactus songs, right? Yeah, I got Joe Bonamassa on it, with Jim McCarty. I got Jim's the original player. Warren Haynes from Government Mule. We got Ted Nugent. We got Dee Snider. We got, you know, all kinds of people, you know, on different tracks. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, you made a great point that you are an American drummer, and you're one of the, you know, icons from that, you know, a rock hero. So let's take a quick break and come back. I want to just touch on this box set with Beck Bogart and a piece that you released, and also you were voted one of the 30 most influential drummers that paved the way for others, which we were just talking about. So more with legendary rock drummer, American drummer, Carmine Appice, right after the break.
Get back on the road with peace of mind with auto repair services you can trust. Accurate Auto Repair at 203-854-0338 or check them out at accurateautonorwalk.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Tavella, owner of Rick's Main Roofing, a family-owned and operated business since 1948, specializing in all types of residential and commercial roofing. We are GAF Residential Master Elite and GAF Commercial Master Select certified contractors offering the finest warranties in the industry. This certification is only given to the best of the best. Rick's Main Roofing services all of Fairfield and Westchester County and offers a 24-hour emergency service. Look us up. ricksmainroofing.com.
Live theater is back and in your own backyard at Curtain Call. There's always something on at Curtain Call at the Sterling Farms Theater Complex, Newfield Avenue in Stamford. For half the price of a Broadway ticket, a family of four can see a show at Curtain Call. Call 203-461-6358 or go online to curtaincallinc.com. That's curtaincallinc.com.
Don't let an uncomfortable home keep you from enjoying it. Call the Heating and Cooling Company of Norwalk at 203-855-0858 today and schedule your free system evaluation or Google them. The Heating and Cooling Company of Norwalk.
Hey, how about a great sandwich for lunch or delicious breakfast and cappuccino? This is Sergio. Come and see me at Francesca's Cafe and Grill right here on the Post Road in Norwalk. 249 Westport Avenue. Your friend Sergio here does it all, from Italy to Norwalk, to coffee and cannolis. Francesca is truly a piece of Italy right here in heart of Norwalk. Check out our great menu at francescasdeli.com.
The City's Backyard podcast is about the arts, entertainment, music, and your community. It's The City's Backyard, airing on all platforms.
We're in the backyard down in sunny Florida, where Carmine Appice now lives, originally a Brooklyn guy, you know, from Vanilla Fudge originally, which, you know, reading your book, The Pigeons was the original name, right? And you were voted one of the 30 most influential drummers in yardbarker.com that paved the way for others, such as guys like Phil Collins and even John Bonham, you mentioned, right?
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's hard to believe, you know, people, because Zeppelin got so big that Vanilla Fudge took them on their first tour. And we were their kind of mentors and helped them on the road and, you know, showed them the ropes in America, how to wreck hotels and have fun. You know, and, you know, I got Bonzo his drum set that was exactly like mine. He loved my big blonde drum sets, which was the only one at the time in the world. And I got one for him. I got the gong for him, you know. And then, you know, they ended up being so huge. And Vanilla Fudge broke up. And I started Cactus, which they called the American Led Zeppelin, which was interesting. But we never broke really big. But it was a great band that influenced. That band influenced a lot of bands. AC/DC, Van Halen, so many. Just like Vanilla Fudge influenced Deep Purple and Styx. And yes, and Phil Collins told me, you don't know how much you influenced. You guys influenced me. I mean, you know, it's, you know, I've been blessed that I was in bands that influenced other bands that went on to be big, you know. As, you know, a great jazz drummer once said to me, nobody has it all. We all steal from each other.
Yeah.
That was a great thing, you know, he told me, because, you know, I stole from that generation, and then I did my thing, and the generation below me stole from me. The generations after them stole from them, you know. And, a perfect example of that was when we took Ozzy on the road. I was on the road with Ozzy. We took Motley Crue on the road. I saw Tommy doing a cymbal spin and grabbing the cymbal that I've been doing since Vanilla Fudge days. And he said, I said, where'd you get that? He said, I got it from John Bonham. And when we play with John, you know, and they opened up for us, and he saw me doing it. He would look at me and do it, emulate me and grab the cymbal, and we'd both laugh. But he kept doing that. And then Tommy saw him doing that, never saw me doing it because my bands were broken up by then, you know. And I said, well, the Lucian, you got it from me? And he goes, no, dude, I got it from Bonzo. I said, all right, after the 12th take in my house, I'll show you the Ed Sullivan Show, which is a major, major show for us. And I was like a total destructing animal on my drum kit.
Sure were.
And when he saw me doing that, he said, when was this? I said, this was before Led Zeppelin even came out. And he was like blown away, you know. So it goes to show, he goes from my generation to the next generation to the next generation, you know, and that's how it works, you know.
Yeah.
But it's funny, you know. And when guys say, no, dude, I got it from Bonzo, meaning, you know, because Bonzo was the big guy, you know. So anyway.
For sure.
It was fun. It was fun. I got to know those guys. That's why this year, when Nikki Sixx was doing all that bullshit, putting me down, I said, dude, I thought we were friends, you know. I didn't start talking this to talk shit about your tour or anything. I'm just, you know, I just mentioned what Mick said while talking to me. When they asked me, why do you think Mick left? And I, you know, Mick told me why he left. I didn't think I was saying anything that nobody didn't know. And everybody knew it anyway. It was on Eddie Trunk years before, Mick telling that. And it was out before. So, you know, I guess I rehashed it and got crazy. I got to say, I got a lot of press out of it, you know.
Well, that's a good segue for the next segment, just about, you know, personalities, different personalities with different drummers. And I've got a couple of things I want to just mention to you after the break. But before we take our last quick break, just hit on the Beck Bogart and a Peace box set. That came out
It just came out like 2 weeks ago. And what it was, and I helped mix it with Jeff and his engineer. And when Jeff is alive, and the last thing he said to me, this stuff is fantastic. We're playing great, and it's very humorous playing, you know? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, I would do something stupid, and then Tim would do it, and then you would answer us, and we'd just go around, and we'd move on. I said, yeah, I guess you're right. But what it is, actually, it's the Japanese album that never came out in America or the world. It was just out in Japan, and, it, you know, some people had it as a bootleg that sold for $60 or $70 for one album, you know? And, yeah, it was recorded on the first tour of Japan, the only tour of Japan. The band was on fire, you know. And then the other album is a two-record set for the Japan one and a two-record set for the live in London. So that was our last show, you know. And we tried to release it and record a second album. We never actually did it. So we decided to do it live. So the live in London has seven new songs. I sang five of them. And there were two instrumentals, and the band is totally on fire. When you listen to both these records, I mean, there's nobody in those days ever played like this. And it was on the bridge between BBA and what Jeff did with Blow by Blow. Cause originally I was on Blow by Blow. When Jeff, you know, when the band broke up, me and Jeff were still good friends, and I went to England to work on new stuff because when we used to ride in a car together, I would play Mahavishnu Orchestra and Billy Cobham instrumental jazz rock stuff. And Jeff loved it, and I loved it. So we're saying, well, let's, you know, that's why this song called Jizz Whiz on the BBA Live is a song that starts out in 11-8 timing, goes to 6-8, and then 3-4, which is an instrumental, which is like what they do in the jazz rock vein, you know, except it was more rock. So after the band broke up, I went and played with Jeff, and I was originally on five or six of the tracks on Blow by Blow, but we couldn't work out a deal with Epic Records, you know, so I had to leave. I worked with George Martin, and I was really pissed off that I had to leave. Then when it came out, I sold 2 million copies. I was really mad at the time, but then a year and a half later, I was playing with Rod, and I wrote The Thing Up Sexy and all that. So it was like, ended up being bigger than that album would have been anyway, you know. So I was kind of glad, because if I would have stayed with Jeff, I wouldn't have went with Rod.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, I guess, you know. But, you know, so we released this record, and then, you know, the day we sent the liner notes, which is the book, there's a book inside. It's like a coffee table with a hardcover and a book, and there's a poster, and there's an actual the Japanese program that they sold as merch, because back in those days, you didn't have a lot of merch, you know? And Tim had a Beck Bogan, a peace sign, a peace T-shirt on, which they made just for us. You know, in those days, you didn't sell those things, you know? You didn't sell BBA shirts or you know, pictures or, you know, anything, your hats, anything you have today. You know, so it comes with all that. The book, it comes a hardcover book with the history of the band from the beginning to the end. It's like over 10,000 words, I think it is. Wow. And my manager, Bruce Pilato, who was a journalist in the old days, he wrote it. And so the day we sent it to Jeff and his manager, we didn't get an answer. We sent it to him on a Sunday. Then we find out on the Wednesday, Jeff, he passed away.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Come on. You kidding me? You know, even though I wasn't in touch with Jeff every day, he was always there.
Right.
Know? I used to go, when I went to England, I used to go stay at his house, you know, and we'd hang out, and he had a little room with his guitar, a little drum thing, and we'd play a little bit, and we'd hang out. We both love cars, and I've always had cars, had Corvettes and Panteras and Jaguars, and he always had the American hot rods, and we'd always go in his garage and screw around, and we had a lot of fun together, you know? And like I said, even though he wasn't there, you know, calling me every day or me calling him every day, he was always there, you know, in my head, you know, just like Tim Bogert was always there, you know. And then Tim passed away 2 years ago. I still got two messages from him. The last two messages on my phone I wanted to keep, you know. But, you know, even though I didn't talk to him every day, he was always there. So now I'm the last man standing on this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like when I listened to the whole thing, you know, when I got the box set, I had to listen to the albums to make sure everything was okay. And I couldn't believe the energy in this band. Jeff playing unbelievable and Tim playing like Tim, you know, at the peak of his career, you know, and me playing like an animal and singing.
Well, that's a perfect segue to take a break, because I want to talk about you being an animal as a drummer and all that. But let's take one last quick break and come back. We're talking to legendary rock drummer Carmine Appice. More right after this.
Visit Rory's Restaurant, 416 Post Road in Darien. Rory's is where it's always delicious. Try their great selection of mouthwatering appetizers, hot and cold sandwiches, scrumptious entrees, and outrageous soups. Check out their menu at rorys.net or call 203-655-9453 for takeout or curbside pickup. Open 7 days.
Hello, Norwalk. This is Vinny Schicchitano, a real Norwalk native. If you are tired of the overdevelopment in Norwalk and you want to change, then vote for me this November. This isn't a matter of national politics or whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. It's about making your community and mine a more livable city. Vote Vinny Schicchitano for mayor of Norwalk this November. Paid for by Norwalkers for Norwalk, Steve Summerton Jr., treasurer.
IMC23 is free, or VIP. The Independent Music Conference returns for 2023 with free registrations for all attendees. Attend for free or choose to support the IMC by purchasing a VIP registration for only $49. Simply visit independentmusicconference.com and click on the message us link. IMC23 is free or VIP. independentmusicconference.com.
Does your business need an edge over the competition? Bruce Park Sports and Embroidery is the answer. With custom clothing designed with your company logo, they'll help you from start to finish with embroidered or screen-printed hats, shirts, jackets, and more. All work done on-site and made in the USA. Call Bruce Park Sports and Embroidery at 203-853-4488 or check them out on Yelp.
From hot to cold, breakfast to lunch, JV's Deli has something for everyone. JV specializes in thin crust pizza, deli sandwiches, pasta, and more. JV's Deli and Pizza, serving Norwalk for over 10 years, 15 Tierney Street, up the road from City Hall. Check out their great menu at JV'sDeliandPizza.com.
Visit Ripka's Beach Cafe, 99 Calf Pasture Beach Road, right on the beach in Norwalk. Ripka's has great food featuring hot dogs and burgers, salads, sandwiches, pizzas, clams, oysters, and more. Check out their menu at ripkasbeach.com.
From the Empire State Building's backyard, you're listening to The City's Backyard with Matt Szako.
We are back with Carmine Appice. And Carmine, we were talking about, you know, just the fact that you've moved around, you've played in all these different bands, and, you know, some drummers have had longer lengths of time. For example, Joe Vitale, drummer of Joe Walsh, he's been with Joe from the beginning, pretty much, you know, after the James Gang. And, you know, then he was with Barnstorm. And I had on Liberty DeVito, you know, who was fired from Billy Joel.
Yeah.
So, you know,
years.
Friend of yours. Yeah, friend of yours. And a lot like you, because you guys are from, you know, Brooklyn. And then I also had on Gary Peterson, who's the last surviving member of the Guess Who. So let's get to the personality of different drummers. I feel like, you know, you being a New York guy, you know, New Yorkers are known to be tough. Liberty's tough, but both of you guys have great hearts, you know. And so do you think it's your personality, why you were fired?
New York, when you grew up in New York, you learn to survive. I mean, I got fired from Rod. I mean, I got fired from Ozzy for pretty much the same reason. And Sharon told me, your name's too big. You got to start your own thing. Because, you know, when I was with Ozzy, I didn't do this with Rod, but I had a deal with Rod that he would do all the major press, you know, nationwide press. I would do the local stuff. So there's one guy in the band didn't like that because, you know, he wanted to be the low. He wanted to be second after Rod, and he wasn't. You know, he had no history. Same thing with Ozzy. Sharon fired me because after I would go do the gig, I would do a master class in the day. I had a PR person. I did the master class. Whatever money I made, I would donate some of it to UNICEF. So I got a lot of press, and she didn't like that. I'd walk into a town, you'd have a full page article in the newspaper, you know, about me and the show and about what I was doing. And she didn't like it. So she said, you need to start your own band. So I started King Cobra.
Yeah,
King Cobra,
by the way.
Right? You know,
by the way, I love the fact that, you know, in your book that you wrote, you know, a few years back, Stick It, that you got right to the juicy stuff with Sharon firing you. Yeah. But before we wrap up the podcast, I need to make this point. You know, I had Gary Peterson on from the Guess Who, and obviously he's a Canadian drummer, but super nice guy. And we talked about the fact that, you know, I asked him, I said, you never got on the Ed Sullivan Show with all those hits that the Guess Who had, you know, No Time, American Woman, These Eyes. And I said, but Vanilla Fudge got on and they had less hits. You know, his answer was visually, and I agree with him, and I'm sure you do too, but visually you guys were more interesting. And when I had you on the last time, I really, you know, looked back at that Ed Sullivan
footage.
Let me
tell you why we got on. You know why we got on? Because we were the very first band to break the top five with an album without a giant hit. That's why we got on.
It wasn't the fact that you guys were so theatrical. I mean, because when you did get on, then what? They had you back.
No, I don't think so. We got on because we were the very first band to get a gigantic album, number four album, without a big hit. We were the first band to get on with a gigantic album.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well,
and the fact that probably we were great live and, but that's what we always said. We were the first band to be on without that. Actually, I don't know why we got on, but we got on twice.
Yeah. Well, I don't care what Rod says about, you know, your clothing.
That's just Rod. That's Rod.
No, I know.
I love Rod. I love Rod. He's such a good guy. You know, I say that to everybody. He's a fabulous guy. Looks like Nugent.
Yeah.
Fabulous guy. You know, Nugent played on it. The Cactus album, you know, all these guys that played on the album were Cactus fam, Nugent, Warren Haynes. Joe Bonamassa said when he heard Parchment Farm, it blew him away. So I put him on Parchment Farm with Jim McCarty and Billy Sheehan playing bass, you know. And it's a monster track. And, you know, Warren Haynes, Eddie Van Halen, I put the Fudge together. He said, F the Fudge, put Cactus together.
Yeah.
You know, big, you know, I've been lucky. Knock on wood. You know, all the bands that I've been in were influential bands, even though they, you know, they weren't gigantic like Led Zeppelin or some of the bands that are still out there, like Journey, still making Money. Or the one tribute. It's a tribute band, Foreigner.
Yeah.
And Mick never goes and plays. It's just a big tribute.
I had this whole conversation with Liberty about, you know, he's still in the original Billy Joel band. And, you know,
you know why he's doing that? Because I was doing the Rod thing back when he was fired. And I said, why don't you do what I'm doing?
Oh, okay.
And well, it's a good idea. And they did it and it's successful. I love him for it. You know?
Yeah. And he loves the fact that you've got your hands in a lot of things. You know, we're going to run out of time, Carmine. Before we go, just plug these shows, the Rod Experience, which is, you know, primarily why you came back on the podcast. We always appreciate you dropping by the city's backyard. Yeah. So these dates coming up this weekend, real quick.
Yeah. We got, what is it? The Levoy Theater. And where is that?
Melville,
New Jersey. And we got the Newtown. I thought it was the Newton Theater. It's in Newtown.
Oh, Newton. I'm thinking Newtown, Connecticut. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah,
Newton.
Newton Theater in Newton, New Jersey. So that's the 27th is Levoy. 28th is in Newton. And the 29th is the Patchogue Theater in Long Island. And we're ready to rock those places. 1979 kick-ass rock show like Rod used to rock it.
Carmine at Peace. Thanks for dropping by the city's backyard today. We always appreciate it.
Cool.
That puts a wrap on the city's backyard. We'll be back next week with more interesting topics, great guests, and fun conversation about what's happening in and around your community. That's it for now. We'll see you soon.